Oh, morning, Helen.
Good morning.
I want to thank Mary, Steph, and Michelle for yesterday. So could you send them each a bottle of champagne?
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, me neither. Champagne problems, am I right?
Wait, is that what that means?
I don't know.
Me neither.
TBTL. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
So what if I smell like roast beef? This whole place smells like roast beef.
I'm sorry, but when I hear an undeserved compliment, it makes my ears want to throw up.
Oh, your ears are always throwing up about something.
Maybe he saw his reflection and thought, I'm flying in hot for that hottie.
We'll walk that fine line between cutting-edge irreverence and trouble with the Federal Communications Commission.
All right, here we go, everyone. Hello, good morning, and welcome to a Friday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
I like turtles.
I believe, actually, the I Like Turtles kid, I believe that piece of video and then later audio tape was recorded right here in beautiful Portland, Oregon.
Oh la la!
Where it is another gorgeous, gorgeous day here in the Rose City. Yeah, I said it. Yesterday I said I was very ashamed because I had been here less than a week and I had already been giving the wrong version of one of the nicknames of this city. It is technically the City of Roses. I called it the Rose City, but then was pointed out to me by a Portland resident who prefers to be fairly low-key on the program that Rose City is perfectly acceptable. There's a football club with that name. There's lots of things that reference the Rose City. So I am now feeling not ashamed.
For one thing, I have no shame before another mortal.
I'd like to formally retract my shame that I expressed yesterday and tell you that we have a great show in store for you here on Episode 3,298 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
Here's a pro tip. Here's a life hack. Here's some intelligence for your life. If you are going to steal someone's DoorDash order that was mistakenly left on your door instead of your neighbor's door,
never do anything out of hunger. Not even eating.
Double check that the person you're stealing the food from is not a Pro Bowl caliber fullback in the National Football League, because that could be, you know, a situation for you. Also, a company in Seattle is making masks that have a very, very realistic photo of the lower part of your face on the mask.
You face. Who are you facing?
So when you're walking around, it's like people are looking at your regular face. I have said before on the program, I am very into mask culture, not just because it is a way to try to tamp down the virus, but because I like my derpy face being hidden away from the world. So anyway, we'll talk about masks. Oh, and because it's a Friday, a.k.a. Fri-yay, we'll do some music for your weekend. And we'll talk to this guy, the longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. Speaking of music, he's always got a song in his heart. He is Andrew Walsh. He is joining us right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, good morning. I am very excited that you used some Donovan. I need some Donovan in my life right now.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to come in with I was working on a joke. I was going to ask you if Lafayette, Indiana is known as the city of Axl Roses or just Axl Rose City, because I looked up where he was born. Like, it was getting really complicated. Then I was like, no, you know what? You know, Luke, I had a rough night. I'm in a bad mood today, and I need you to make me laugh. I don't have to do research on where Axl Rose was born just to make you chortle. That's not my job today.
No, today I need to be funny for both of us.
It's what we do every day. Brain,
I am. You know what?
Pinky?
I will be the Samwise Gamgee.
Oh, good.
Oh, God. This is already going off the rails.
This is good.
Your Frodo.
Well, I've got Needle, right?
Okay, good.
Nope. That's not it. Needle is Arya's sword.
I'll be
you
the
said
Gollum
it the other
to
day.
Your Smeagol. How about... Wait, no. That's wrong, too. Listen, Andrew, all joking aside, I'm really sorry to hear that Theo is not doing well right now. What's the latest? If you feel okay talking about it.
Yeah, well, right now he's doing fine. He's sitting... Right at my feet here on this carpet in my office. This is a new move from him. He is attached to me. He will not leave my sight, which is good. I don't want him to leave my sight. He had a really tough night last night. I was talking on the show yesterday about how he was acting weird, and it's funny how you get to know your pets, right? I mean, he's 19 years old. He's a cat, by the way. If you're new to the episode, this is the episode where I try to talk about my cat without crying. We got a text message from Chris Hayes the other day who said, I love the idea of the crying podcast, and I barely remember talking about it. Did we pitch an idea of just doing topics that make us cry and creating a crying podcast out of it? I honestly don't even remember that spoof.
I think it was a passing reference. What I remember about it was that it gave me a chance to play an audio drop that sounds like this.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this?
But I don't remember exactly what the, to be totally honest with you, I don't remember exactly what the context was.
Yeah.
But what I'll do here, Andrew, what would be a, I'll get a Donovan song queued up.
Yeah, this is
so
good.
If you find it difficult to talk, we can just
swell.
What song would you recommend?
Does he have Ballad of the Elderly Cat? Let's see. The Tinker Man and his Elderly Cat? Nope. There's got to be something along those lines. Barabba Jaggle is fine. But no, I can keep my composure. Theo is alive. He's not dead at my feet right now. So, you know,
honestly,
that's one thing.
That would be
dark.
A little dark, probably.
If that
but
was what I was waiting to spring on you.
Yeah. But yeah, you mentioned yesterday that what was odd to you is that Theo, who has been bedeviling you with his loud, you know, yowling for the last year or so, was actually being kind of oddly quiet, which had you and Genevieve a bit concerned.
Yeah, and he was just kind of like, you know, you don't think about it too much, or maybe you do. I mean, we talk about our pets' habits on the show quite a bit, but, you know, like, yesterday, he just wasn't following those patterns. He was just sitting in weird places. Like, I know that's a strange thing. Like, what's wrong with your cat? I don't know, but he's sitting in a weird place. But he just was. He was sitting in weird places. And then I did notice kind of as the day went on, he was really, really stuck to me. And he is like that a lot. Like, he always wants to find out where I'm going to be and probably hang around. But, like, during the show, he, for the most part, does not have a big interest in being in here. I know every now and then he'll yell outside my door. But, you know, he and I don't have a routine of him sitting in here with me like he is right now. But yesterday, he just really needed to be by me all the time, especially as the night went on. And we ended up having a really, you know, nice football night, a nice Thursday night football night last night. It felt like the weekend to me. I actually ordered a pizza on a weekday. Thank you, DoorDash. Look at me living life. Celebrating. I think it's okay to spoil this. Celebrating a great Seahawks win. Theo likes football, not the game itself, but he likes it when we're watching football because it means Veeves and I are both sitting on this couch in our TV room with a little blanket for him in between. And he likes to root for sleep. I can never get him to pay attention to the game, which is somewhat frustrating. But
does he know what a nickel package is? I've been trying to get some clarity on that myself for a few years.
Theo, do you know what a nickel package is? He's waving that one off.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so we had a nice night hanging out. And then it's like 1 in the morning, a little after 1. I'm like, okay, time to go to bed. I don't want to leave Theo in this room with this couch that he could potentially destroy. So I scoop up Theo. I go up to the bedroom and I set him in the bed. He does this thing. I lay on my back and he sits on my chest. Where's the Donovan, by the way?
Oh, we got it here.
What was that bell I heard?
It was me trying to get the Donovan going.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then accidentally hitting the bell. I wasn't.
Oh, this is hurdy-gurdy, man.
Is this too emo?
No, this is good. No, this is good. Now, do you... There's a live version with an extra verse in this, too, but I don't think George Harrison wrote that one. Mm. I don't know if you're interested in that. It's off of the Classics Live.
So you You got Theo.
So anyway, I got him, and we're hanging out upstairs. He's like falling asleep on my chest, which is really, really cute. And we're up there for probably like 10 minutes or something, and he's purring away. Then Genevieve comes up. And so, you know, she comes to bed, and so Theo's like, eh, you know, I'm going to go downstairs now. And then we hear him going down the stairs, and sometimes he acts like a really old cat who has creaky bones and can barely walk up the steps. Other times he forgets that, and he acts like a tiny kitten, a tiny 15-pound kitten who will run around the house like a bowling ball, you know, making tons of noise, especially when he goes up our old stairwell, you know, to the bedroom, and we have wooden floors, and it's just kind of a noisy house anyway. So we're in bed. Theo's like, okay, Genevieve's here. I'm done cuddling. I'm going to go downstairs with my blanket. And we hear, like, a lot of thumping, and we're like, what is he doing barreling down the stairs? But then it doesn't stop, and this is where I'm going to describe what happened. Theo had a spell, but if you don't want me to describe it to you, I'll give you like a second here to hit fast forward a bit. I don't know if this is triggering or if I'm a snowflake here, but he had a seizure that was really, really tough to see. I still don't know. I think I have a better idea now of what happened. I think he just got to the bottom of the stairs and started flipping out. At first, I wasn't sure if he fell down the stairs because he was just on his back and spasming, and his limbs were every which way. It's just tough to
Andrew.
See.
Yeah.
Hurdy-gurdy, man.
All right. I feel like this is the worst part of the song to be
bringing
in.
It's not the best.
I really just didn't. I feel like my knowledge of Donovan is letting us down here.
Well, I was going to describe. I don't have to describe more what it was, but it was a very sad, sad scene. He peed all over himself. He couldn't control his limbs. We thought he had broken limbs. It was just terrible. Oh. He was spasming, and it was just the worst fucking thing.
Well, this is the song we've got.
More guitar solo.
Who's
like Jeff Beck? Like, honestly, it probably is. Like, let's look up while I do this. While I cry my way through this shit. And by the way, this is what happens when Theo is still alive. Can't wait till he passes on. That'll be a really good show. I'm sorry, I'm so weepy, but
Andrew, I'm also. Please, you have absolutely every right to be emotional about your beloved cat having a really scary episode, man. I just wish I would have picked a better Donovan song.
I was supposed to be
carrying you up Mount Doom, and I'm really letting you down.
You were supposed to carry me up the stairs like I carried Theo. But anyway, so I scoop him up in a blanket. I just don't know what to do at this point. I literally don't know if he's dying or what. And I also have had almost zero sleep because, you know, I scooped him up in a blanket. We, you know, cleaned him up. We cleaned up the floor. But just, like, we weren't sure what he was going to do. It looked like he wanted to go to a corner. I'm like, oh, my God, is he going to go to a corner and just pass away?
Yeah.
But we put his blanket on the ground, and I just laid there with him. And he just kind of slowly – he basically – I thought maybe he was blind and deaf for a while. He was just kind of, like, on edge. But, like, slowly he got his limbs back a little bit. Like, he could walk around gingerly, but he didn't want to, and he didn't know where to go, and he just was confused and out of it. And so he just laid on the blanket. And, you know, by now it's probably, like, 2 in the morning, and so I'm like, I'll just stay down here with him.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, there's no going to sleep. There's no having restful sleep after that has happened to your cat because it's just like you don't know what's going on. I mean, I would imagine you did not get very much rest last night.
No, so I stayed up with him all night. And he sort of fell asleep in a tense position and then slowly, slowly, slowly kind of relaxed until he kind of curled up into himself like a cat, like the most relaxed I saw him. And honestly, that's something, again, with age that you see that on a minor level as he's gotten older anyway. Like he will come, and when he wants to snuggle, it takes him so long to trust his bones to finally make that final plopping into the, you know, I'm going to cuddle up here for a while thing. And so anyway, this time he really had a spell. And again, I wasn't sure what faculties would be left. I mean, I didn't call an emergency pet service at this point because I was like, whatever's going on, putting him in a cage and trying to drive across town at 2 in the morning, like, that's not going to save him at this point. Like, whatever's happening is happening. He does have I think I mentioned this yesterday, he's gotten a long-awaited vet appointment, but it's still in 2 weeks. Apparently, all the vets are just super, super booked because of COVID. I made this appointment like a month and a half ago, and they're like, yeah, we're booked out for 2 months. And I called other places, and this is just the reality of living in COVID. So I don't know what emergency services are like, but again, I was like, I have to keep an eye on him tonight and see what he's like in the morning. And, you know, as I think I must have nodded off for a little bit, and around 6 in the morning, I kind of woke up. I think maybe he woke me up because I kind of woke up and I see that he's kind of in a regular sitting position now and looking at me. And then it's just like weird. It's just like, well, what do you want to do, Theo? Like, you're kind of limping around. I can't tell what you think is reality. So he just kind of wandered around a little bit, and then he wanted to sleep on my chest again. So we just laid there for a while. But he just kind of got slowly better as the day has gone on, but he still is like my shadow. He just wants to lay here with me. So
is he right now though? Like, it had last night not happened. Would his behavior today, like as of right now, be sort of typical Theo? Is he back to kind of like where he was at pre-seizure?
I don't think so, because like the fact that he just came in here and like kind of sat under my, like he's kind of literally at my feet right here. That's just not, this isn't one of his places. I mean, it's fine. And because of this, you might hear some extra noise today because I've had to leave the door open so he can come and go in case he wakes up during the show. But like, no, I wouldn't say it's normal. He's even more fragile than usual, but he's getting more and more normal. He did eat some food today, and he acted hungry, and he ate his food, and he's...
Oh, that's good.
And so he's kind of moving around, and Genevieve is now... Genevieve's in the doorway. Hi. Yeah, could you do that? Genevieve's going to call the vet, see if they can bump up our appointment a little bit. So it's just been a hell of a ride. Like, I got like 1 hour of sleep last night, and just trying to... keep an eye on Theo. What do you got going in the background now? I'm not choked up. I'm just curious.
It's some song called Hi, It's Been a Long Time.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear this a bit. This is not the worst song. I mean, it's definitely, if you're going to make fun of Donovan, this was the song you'd parody, maybe.
To me, this is the part of the Wes Anderson film where Theo kind of like shakes his head, shakes it off, kind of gets up, starts walking around again, is kind of back more or less in this world that we're all in. You're looking fine. Proud as any
woman should be, proud of womankind. Oh, known for those great lyrics. Anyway, I don't have a power out to that story, and I just weeped my way through it. It's just he's disoriented and kind of, and we're going to see if we can get him into now that it's the light of day, see if we can get him in somewhere. And you know, he's 19 years old, and you know, I don't know.
I'm so sorry, Andrew. That's really, really a sad thing. And I know our listeners, who are all, most of them anyway, animal lovers and pet owners, can really identify with that. It is an extremely bad system that we outlive these animals. I mean, I guess the alternative is worse in that we die and they eat us. That's also not great.
That's also not great. And also, like, in, you know, that's one thing that I was thinking about last night, like, kind of wondering, like, I wonder if Theo will be alive when I wake up, you know, if I fall asleep.
Yeah.
But just thinking, like, you know, I don't think hopefully there aren't a lot of people out there making fun of me for being emotional over the
Andrew,
frail state
of somebody, my cat. If somebody has even the momentary thought of making fun of you over being emotional around your cat, I am officially banning them from listening to the show. If
you
had that
regulate,
thought,
though? I mean, is it self-regulation?
I will call the police, who are right now trying to enforce no get-togethers of more than six people, but I will redirect them to find and arrest anyone who for 1 second has a judgmental thought about where you're at right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you are out there and you are having judgmental thoughts, do not write in, because even if you're a jerk, we need the downloads, my friends. Just, I'm sorry, but we need the downloads. I'll take any downloads. I will take any listener.
That's incredible, Andrew. That's an amazing sacrifice. You would allow... basically a hateful person to continue listening to the show because we need the downloads that badly.
Well, I don't think that it was kind of funny because I knew I was going to tell you about this and I had more of a narrative arc and more details and stuff, but clearly I can't really do that without getting too choked up. So I'm all over the place and I don't even have a real power out here other than, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But it was a weird, and I think I was starting to say before though, like seeing Theo in that way was one of the worst things I've ever seen, but it reminded me of how little human suffering I've had to be, you know, in front of my eyes. And I know that a lot of people who are listening and people who are not listening because they were making fun of me and now they're banned from the show have had real...
But do keep downloading the show. Just don't listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. We do
That's
need the download.
System.
And get your jerk neighbors to download it,
Please.
Too. Do they still make jerks all live in neighborhoods together?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, glad that passed. So anyway, it just reminds me, when I think about him and how emotional I am and what a night it was, I just think like, my God, what if this was, you know, a family member? You know, I've been so blessed that I have not had a lot of that in my life. So,
yeah, I hear you on that. The things that people go through when taking care of other people and animals. It's intense, and it's a wonder that we're able to do it as humans, because it is really super intense. And I've also been super fortunate that I haven't been around a lot of things like that. I will say that I remember when we were when Carrie and I were staying with our friend in Bellingham. We hadn't gotten a house yet. Our friend had this really just amazing, lovely, very old lab named Bo, and we came home one day, and Bo, you know, was just not interested in food. Was just sitting there on his dog bed, and we were like getting peanut butter on everything, you know, that like the day before had been this dog's reason for life, and he just was sitting there. But he just wagged his tail a little bit, like he had enough left in him to kind of wag his tail when we came in. Like even as he was, you know, transitioning to the next plane and not interested in food, he was still stoked that some people were coming in that room to say hi to him and wagged his little tail. And it was a sweet moment and a really sad moment. I don't even want to begin to try to emotionally process my thoughts about when Rudy's all done on this planet. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a bummer.
We've never had a situation where you and I are both crying, and we can't continue down enough. This road.
Well, what if we just both? What if we play two Donovan songs at the same time from each end on a 1 second delay?
I think you're supposed to do that while watching The Wizard of Oz. Maybe.
Yes.
I can't.
If you hit at the exact right moment, Barabajagal comes on as the MGM lion roars.
Right as everything switches to color, he says, I could write a verse for that song, Don.
Well, listen, Andrew, I'm really sorry, buddy. That's a lot. And I mean, I hope you also know that it would have been acceptable for you to say, hey, Luke, handle the show today. Mm. You know, like if you this is a big event in your life. And you know, just if the next time that you get 4 minutes of sleep while trying to take care of your beloved animal, it's totally fine to just tell me to handle the show, because then I'll just call Christina and ask her, how do we do this? And then I'll ask her to host the show, and
right.
then I'll go back to sleep. Exactly. So it'll be fine. The problem will take care of itself.
And of course, then you run into the old Stu Gatz problem, which is actually a problem that I used to felt very acutely when I was on the air, or even producing shows. I think if somebody comes in and fills in for you and they're better, then mm-hmm. you are worried that you're going to lose your job, or you're going to start being judged to that standard, especially because if you're doing a daily talk show, even as a producer, like I think that, you know, the bloom comes off the rose a little bit after a while. You have a very, you know, comfortable workmanlike relationship with your host. And I'm not even thinking of any particular job I've had here, just generally speaking. And then you take a vacation and they have some new producer who comes in with tons of fresh ideas, not those old Andrew ideas. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I don't think I'll ever work here again. So I don't think
I definitely think you should probably add another layer of stress on your life right now, since your life sounds like it's not at all stressful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I'd throw in job worries. I would add that to the list. The thing I was going to talk about is at the top of the show, we're now almost halfway through the program, is the stakes couldn't be lower compared to what's going on for you and Genevieve right now and Theo. But let me just ask you this, Andrew. Do you think it's dangerous that I have just been eating with silverware and making coffee in a coffee maker and basically using a bunch of kitchen things that I haven't washed after getting them out of the box?
Yeah, I think
like
it's a problem.
Pots and pans.
I mean, listen, I know. Yes, I do think it's a bad idea. Not as much of a bad idea as if you'd say gotten them at Goodwill.
Sure.
Obviously, which it sounds like you're not doing. But is it,
well,
is it that hard?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I got home the other night and it was so late and I was so hungry, but I had made a decision that I didn't want to just grab fast food again. I feel like since I've gotten down here, because I haven't had like any, you know, kitchen stuff, I've just been eating a lot of takeout food or what, you know, and it just, I was just feeling kind of gross. Like I wanted to try to have a salad. And so I made the decision that I would actually cook a little bit of dinner. But then I had to buy the stuff to cook the dinner, and everything takes longer than you think. And so by the time I got home, it was like 8 o'clock at night. I had been intermittent fasting all day. So I've like now not eaten for a long time. And I was just so ravenous that I literally didn't have the energy to, like, wash out these pots that I bought at Bed Bath & Beyond. BT Dubs, I found a Bed Bath & Beyond that's not on the brink of closure. And
I thought you were going to say you found one that's even worse. I was like,
no.
Let's start there.
No, man. I found one that was, had a whole range of shower curtain liners, a whole bunch of all the colors of the rainbow, and they were all in the packaging. It was a real fantasy land I was in. But anyway,
hey, Luke,
I was
before we get into the details of you washing the pots and pans, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I know we won't have a chance to get to this for a while, but a listener, Steve, wrote in, and
yeah.
It just said he knows the Bed Bath & Beyond. He thinks it was at Mall 205. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
Mall 205. He says it's right across from my daughter's school. The larger, if you don't mind me just telling this really quickly, the larger
Please.
Portion of the mall is on the side opposite of Target, and boy, is it creepy. Right before the entrance to Home Depot is a kids area that is worn down. A few empty stalls down from there used to be a magician who had, quote, private shows.
Oh, no.
Across from that is a set of Providence Hospital hospice offices, and my wife used to work second Whoa. Shift in one of those, and he'd have to cross the empty mall at 11 p.m. when everything was closed. The path to her car went right by the play area with really cheesy 80s soft rock playing lo-fi. Let's just say that she did not dawdle on her path to her car.
That's exactly the place
yes.
I'm talking about.
Chills.
I did not know there was also hospice care there, but let's be honest. That's pretty on brand.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, that's the very same. Anyway, I got home and I was so hungry that I felt like I couldn't wait even to wash these pots out. And then what I did was my brain did what it usually does, which is it made excuses. I thought, do we even really know what's in dish soap? Is dish soap any cleaner than whatever?
The Burbankiest.
Right? Like, I started to question the premise of detergent or dish soap so as to make myself feel less bad about the fact that I had taken out a styrofoam, like, half moon, if you will. Like, I bought basically, like, these three bowls that are just, like, you know, kind of cheapo metal bowls that nest in each other. But what I didn't realize was that they had, like, styrofoam kind of, like, buffering in between them. And so I took that out. I did wipe it out with a paper towel, which I also figured...
A dry paper towel or a wet
paper
towel?
A dry paper towel. Probably should have used some water, but I didn't. And then the pots and pans, same thing. Like, I wiped them out with a paper towel. And I don't know. I feel okay. But today what I did that was... This was the one that I was really concerned about. I bought a, like, normal coffee maker again. Took that Keurig back. Got a normal coffee maker. But this morning, things were a bit hectic around here, and we were dealing with some scheduling stuff. And so I ended up just being like, I got to make some coffee. I don't have the time or energy to wash this coffee pot out. So I'm drinking a cup of coffee that's from a coffee maker that at no time was washed out, which that seems like a bad idea. I mean, just
yeah, that
a lot
one seems
of whatever boiled through that for the first time.
Okay, so obviously you know my original stance on this, right? Which is, yeah, just take the second to wash the things out.
Yes. Let's wash the things that need to be washed.
But in reality, if mm-hmm. I'm just being really fair and honest about this, I think
For
we
once.
Have to question how much of it is in my own head, too. Because let's use the coffee pot as an example. The idea of you using a coffee pot that has never been washed out, you know, new from the factory, seems like a bad idea to me and potentially just dirty in some way. But what about the thing that all the water gets poured into, the reservoir in the coffee
yeah.
maker? Nobody's washing that. That just came from the same factory. The stuff you're drinking is still touching the sides of that the same way it's touching the sides of the carafe. Why
right.
am I thinking that the carafe is dirtier than the reservoir? And nobody has the expectation of cleaning that. So this is probably just something that seems wrong to me, like flying a kite at night. But, you know, maybe that's, I think, something that Bart Simpson once did. Maybe
like
I don't
how
really
long
have
can
a
germs,
logical point. Yeah.
How long can germs really live on something? More I'm worried about industrial some sort of industrial solution
mm-hmm.
or like coating on the plastic that like gets washed off the first time you wash it. And that I don't think anyone's like fingerprints or, you know, someone sneezed on it and then it traveled here from wherever. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried more about some part of the industrial process that needs to get washed off that I didn't wash off. Although I feel okay right now. So,
do you worry at all? I'm racking my brain right now. There was something that we bought recently that we bought off the shelf, and I feel like, and I don't want to impugn her here because I can't remember what the example is, but I felt like it was something that Genevieve thought we didn't have to wash before using. But me thinking, no, I pulled this off the shelf. It was some sort of dishware or kitchen utensil, but it didn't come in a box, right? Oh, I know what it was. It was just a bunch of measuring spoons and measuring cups. But we bought them at Bed Bath & Beyond, not the one at Mall 205. And, you know, how are
those
things?
If you hit the hospice care, you've gone too far.
That's true for all hospice care, I think.
Yeah, true.
But it's a real dark show today, leaning into it. But anyway, yeah, so...
Who thought my divorce was going to be the least sad news this week?
How much are you like, screw you, Walsh. Really? You can't even let me have the attention for 1 second?
I'm more than happy to pass the baton of sadness, my friend. Okay. I mean, not that I'm happy you're sad, but I'm okay with us both having our real life experiences reflected in the program.
I want to name the show The Baton of Sadness, but I don't know what click rates will be like on a show called The Baton of Sadness. But anyway, you know what I'm going to say here. The measuring cups, measuring spoons, they're just kind of hanging on something in Bed Bath & Beyond. Mm-hmm. You grab them, you throw them in your thing. Like, those things have been exposed to human beings in the air in their entire existence, from the second they left a factory to, you know, getting packaged up into a box to then being shipped. And so anyway, it's just... all those people in Bed Bath & Beyond picking them up, looking at them, deciding whether or not they want them, putting them back, like all those strangers touching what are now my measuring cups. You better damn believe I washed them.
But I always just wonder, like, okay, someone touched I, by the way, have measuring cups and spoons that were also there. These ones I got at Crate and Barrel, but they were totally out there for anyone to person handle. Are we saying manhandle anymore?
Oh, that's a good point.
I feel like we can use the kind of like the patriarchal term if it's a diss. Like manhandle, it's like, yeah, it probably would be a dude.
Maybe. I also think of manhandling, and I could be wrong here, but I was getting more hung up on, I think of manhandling as treating something roughly, not necessarily just like touching something.
Where would you consider the phrase that Kamaro Kev taught me?
I'm bracing myself.
When somebody
he learned it from
Matt Gibbs, R.I.P. Matt Gibbs is dead. Gary Gibbs, who worked for the railroad.
Oh no! Is this about a measurement? I don't want to hear the measurement.
No, it's not the measurement one. It's this one isn't. I don't think this one is particularly anti-woman. Is the good news. But if anybody touched something with their hands they hadn't washed...
Oh, no. I know what you're going to say.
He would say... He would call the person's hands their dick
beep.
Skinners.
That's what I'm doing. I won't edit it out, but I beep that exactly as you said it. And just so you know, I timed it perfectly on my end. I'm not even joking.
I'm going to list... This will be one of the few shows I listen back to. I want to hear how that sounds. Somebody had manhandled these measuring cups with their bleep skinners, which I don't even really understand.
Let's not.
I don't even understand the premise of that.
I think I do, but I don't feel like explaining it to you. I mean, maybe when you're older, I don't know what to tell you.
Andrew, where do babies come from?
Mall 205, oddly enough.
We've
just got to walk the other way. Yeah. Go behind the JCPenney.
Oh, that was that other kiosk behind the Portland Trailblazer hats. You know the saddest part about that? I told this whole story in detail. It was boring then, and it's not getting more interesting now. But I had been in the Bed Bath & Beyond. I was going to go to the Target, but there was a line. So then I went back to the Bed Bath & Beyond. And when I came back to the Bed Bath & Beyond, there was a look in the eye of the guy selling the hats. Uh-huh. Like that I had – it's like in the movie where you walk in opposite directions because you just can't – you know, you're breaking up, and then one person turns around and starts coming back. He looked at me like, oh, you did want a Trailblazer's hat. And I was just like, nope, long line at Target. It was a very, very heartbreaking moment. I'd put that at like maybe the second saddest moment that's been described on the show this week. I would go, what's going on with Theo? The look in that guy's eyes, and then yet another failed marriage for me.
Because what this guy was thinking was, they're right. You lay the groundwork.
Yes.
You plant the idea in their head. Absolutely. Trailblazers, looks good on a ball cap.
Yes.
Plant the idea. They'll come back. Don't chase them down.
No.
They'll come back. And he thought he had you.
He absolutely thought that I was coming back for some kind of NBA material. Anyway, okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back. We'll do some top stories. We'll do some music for your weekend. And just enjoy the majesty that is a Friday edition of TBTL. So stay with us.
Thank you, baby.
Okay, let's thank some donors of the day. These are the people who are making this episode, 3,298 in a collector series, possible with their donations. Talking, of course, about Gabriel Rosencutter of Philadelphia, PA.
Nice.
Got that.
Cradle of Freedom.
It's so much like Portland, Oregon, I can't even begin to describe it to you.
Right.
And I think the way that I would... The way I would show that is by wearing a Philadelphia sweatshirt when I was checking you out of the world's saddest Bed Bath & Beyond.
It all comes back to the single Bed Bath
really
& Beyond.
Did,
I
God,
love
that
it.
Was a, who knew what a just seminal event in my existence that trip was going to be.
And Nicholas, that whole story came up because of another donor who was in Philadelphia, right?
That's right. That is true. That is true. Nicholas Scavlum of Chicago, Illinois. Nicholas, thank you so much for making this possible. Wow. Emily Yosuko, or Yosuiko. But what I was wowing at is the town in New York.
Me too. I have not heard of this.
I've never seen a word like that. Hanoi Falls, New York.
Honeoye. I keep on wanting to say like honey eye, but
yeah,
it's not
it looks,
honey eye. Yeah.
It looks like honey or honey eye, but maybe... or Honeoye Falls, New York.
Oh, it looks beautiful. I'm looking at pictures of it now. Yeah, they have a
name of the place.
Yeah, it's not a typo, if that's what you're wondering. And a lot of pictures of the beautiful falls and the river and these old style houses and barns next to it.
Oh,
very
man.
Beautiful. It seems very much like up your alley, Luke.
Okay, will you check if they have a Bed Bath & Beyond?
I am. I'm checking Zillow first, though, to see.
Okay, good. Thank you. Teresa True of Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Teresa. And then Jonna Beving of Camarillo, California. And then where would we be without Heidi Clark of San Anselmo, California? Thank you so much, babies, for making the show possible.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
This is a top story that our good friend, Hey Lloyd, who is effectively a neighbor of mine now here in the beautiful state of Oregon, he emailed this link in. It's to the Twitter page of a guy who plays football for the Baltimore Ravens. Let me get to the link here real quick. Oh, you know what? It's not where I thought it was, so please hold. I have to go find the email I sent you, Andrew. This is what
I got one story
that I don't print out.
And, so I didn't know about this. I'll buy you a little bit of time here, Luke. I didn't know about this until I saw it in your show sheet this morning. And you're looking for the story. May I say it? May I give it away? That this is a football player who found that his neighbor was stealing his DoorDash off of his food off of his porch.
Yeah, it's actually I think Lloyd found out about it from the Baltimore Ravens actual website where they were basically posting tweets from this guy named Pat. And you'd think I would know. I guess my knowledge of fullbacks in the NFL is not as complete as I would like it to be. Ask Theo if he knows
Theo,
how to say this guy's name.
Is Pat Ricard?
Pat Ricard.
He is giving me a nod, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to take that as an affirmative. Mm-hmm. Pat Ricard's Twitter feed the other day said, "Woo, my neighbor straight up stole my DoorDash. I have a pic of it sitting on his doormat." a knock on his door. I knocked on his door for a solid 10 minutes. Finally, he comes out and we talk. He already had my dinner on a plate. So this is I'm presuming this is maybe in an apartment complex or something. Now, the reason that this guy that plays for the Baltimore Ravens knew that the food had been put mistakenly on his neighbor's in front of their door is that – and this happened to me the other day when I got some stuff delivered here at this place I'm living. They now take a picture, and it's part of the app. Like, you get a picture of the food where it's at, probably to prove that it got dropped off, so people can't just say it didn't get dropped off. So he could see a picture of it being on the wrong, you know, in front of the wrong door. But the crazy part to me is that this person who did not order this food, which turned out to be, by the way, from Outback Steakhouse, the person, can you imagine, Andrew, opening like your apartment door and seeing an order from Outback Steakhouse that you very much remember you did not order,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing it inside and then putting it on a plate and tucking in? Like, there's like so many parts of that, and I'm a pretty shady person, but there are so many steps in that chain that I just don't understand someone doing.
Do you think they washed it first? I'm actually digging into the tweets here,
uh-huh.
and I don't know if you just said this. I know you said that the food was from Outback, but I'm sort of seeing the exchange in which that came to light. Tight end of the Ravens, Mark Andrews, tweeted at him, "What'd you get?" And he wrote, "Ha ha ha! I got Outback. I got my app and dessert back, but no meal. Crying emoji. Crying emoji. Crying emoji." So app, that took me a second because I'm an old. Of course, that means appetizer here, not the actual DoorDash app. So he got his appetizer and his dessert. He spelled it dessert, but whatever. And he did not get the main course, though. So he probably got his Bloomin' Onion back and probably some sort of like a deep chocolate pie or something like that. I don't know what deep chocolate pie means. I'm not a dessert person. It just seems like something that you get at Outback.
Like the idea that this guy, who we can assume is a pretty massive human, he plays in the NFL, is to go over to their house, knock on the door, and then he's told that the steak is already being consumed or is on the
right.
plate. But here you can have the Bloomin' Onion and
right.
the deep fake chocolate bag.
Right.
That's
right.
One. It looks like George Clooney on your chocolate dessert, but actually it's a computer generation. I think that's what the deep fake chocolate mm-hmm. is. Anyway, the idea that somebody – like that the person when caught in the act did not just immediately hand over all of the food is crazy to me. The other thing that Pat – says in his tweet is my other stuff was in containers, so I got that back. I had to tell him who I was in order for him to be cool with me. In other words, he had to mention I play for the Baltimore Ravens in order for this person to give him his food back. So if he had not been a professional football player, what, this person was just planning on keeping the ill-gotten DoorDash?
Yeah, somehow that makes me I hadn't gotten that far down. That makes me angrier than
yeah,
that's the most anger-making thing of this. Sorry, I lost my words there for a second. I had what I call a Theo moment. My brain broke. What I was going to say, though, also, what is this scenario that you have to be in where food, especially like I'm guessing a pretty heavy meal, arrives at your door and yeah.
you're ready
like,
to eat.
Oh,
you're
good,
like,
I'm ready to eat it right now.
I did want a steak.
Right,
I did want a steak that I didn't know existed four
right.
seconds ago is now
right.
what I want to be putting in my stomach.
Right, exactly. Not like, okay, this wasn't a meal. Like you're hungry, and then you said a little prayer like, Lord, yeah. if I should eat today, please let food show up like manna from heaven.
Let an onion bloom in the desert.
Right, the burn and bloom an onion. Oh. So anyway, like yeah, like how did this? Especially like for again, like presumably a steak or something like that. Like, yup, already on the plate, already eating it. Like, were you just waiting around for this?
Yes. It's again, it's not even for some reason like pizza. Kind of makes more sense. Like, everybody could always go for a slice of pizza, right? A steak is kind of a specific mood you have to be in, I feel like.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's very random. Well, the story goes on. So, of course, this went sort of semi-viral. Well, this guy seems actually pretty funny because the next day he tweeted out, okay, or I guess it was actually the same night. Okay, let's go for round two of ordering DoorDash. Wish me luck. And then he attaches this gif of a guy kind of like nervously pulling back a curtain and looking through like a sliding glass door. DoorDash heard about it, and they were tweeting at him. Outback Steakhouse was loving this, and they were tweeting at him to get into their DM so that they can like send him a new meal. So, and then it turns out there's an update, I think from the next day or two, where this guy, Pat, what do we decide his last name was pronounced?
Ricard?
Pat Ricard. I guess that it turned out that the neighbor who had stolen the food was actually the kid of the... So the person he was dealing with was the kid of his neighbor.
Oh, this makes more sense. Like,
and the neighbor then came over and was super mortified and offered to pay for the meal and apologize. So, but this raises for me more questions than satisfies my curiosity in terms of what was going on. So you had a kid who had the temerity to eat a steak that wasn't theirs and then basically stare down an NFL fullback and be like, I will give you the deep fake chocolate and the Bloomin' Onion, but I keep this steak. Like, that is a ballsy kid.
It is, yet somehow it almost makes more sense to me, especially the, oh, food's here, I'm going to eat it right away. I do think that is more of a teenager mentality, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, because, you know, in a lot of cases, they are used to somebody just providing food to them.
Right. You could kind of imagine, oh, maybe my mom ordered this. My mom ordered this, she's on her way home, and this is for her, but I'm just going to eat some of it. Or one of my parents ordered this for me because they were worried I wasn't eating. Or just, let's be honest, and I was at the front of the line for this when I was that age, you're just selfish. You just kind of feel like, hey, here's a steak. Mine as well. Also, it makes it makes more sense that this person was just ready to eat a steak.
Yes.
If they're like a teenager with a hollow leg. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, free steak? Let's do that.
Yep. Yeah, that actually all makes, I think, a lot more sense to me now.
But
also, I think that if DoorDash messes up your order, too. I mean, this is, let's go to Boring Town. If DoorDash messes up anybody's order, I'm sure... Like, you don't even have to talk to anybody anymore. Like, we had a I'm sorry, did he say am I using it? No, this is Uber Eats here. Sorry, I don't
mean is that to. Who it is? I've been calling it.
It is DoorDash. No, you're right. Why did
and
I
let me mention, Uber? Let me mention, they are a sponsor of the show, but we have not run any of this content past them.
No, we did not.
We feel very comfortable misidentifying them just like we would with any other company or product.
That's right. Okay? But I had ordered something from it's a little like a gyro shop that we actually really like around here, and they're usually very good, but for whatever reason on this one night they were just off their game. The order kept getting delayed, and by the time it showed up it was pretty cold, and they didn't bring one of the sides that we ordered. Let's say curly fries. I don't know if that was it or not, but something along those lines. So like back in the day, I think I used to have to call, like, maybe I didn't have to, but I did. It was like, if there's a problem with your order, call this, and then we'll like put some money in your account for next time. Whereas now it's just kind of like, the app is like, was something messed up on your order? You're like, yeah. It's like, what was it, a missing thing? You're like, yeah. And they're like, how much was it? Like, or no, they just have your order there. It's like, what was missing from your order? And it's like this thing. They're like, all right, there you go, money back. Like, it's so like they'll take the company itself will take care of you, even if you're not a famous or maybe not so famous football player.
I am constantly amazed at the technology and the ability that we now have to get so much stuff delivered and all of the systems, because I haven't lived in an apartment building in a long time. The last time I lived in an apartment was when I lived in New York, and that was just like an old fashioned building where you just unlock the front, door, walk through a hall and go to your apartment. This is so high tech. So if I get something delivered from Amazon and it's too big to go in my mailbox, I get a text with a QR code. And then I take the QR code down and I scan it in this other room that's got these huge giant lockers, and it unlocks whatever locker my thing is in.
Are those run by Amazon? Are those the Amazon lockers, or are they run by the company or by your?
It's not Amazon, but it's some different company. That's one of the things too about this place, is that there are so many digital stakeholders. There's all these different companies that I guess they subcontract out the various elements of this place. So it's like some kind of, I could find the email and tell you the name. It's some kind of it's a whole technology around, but it's not Amazon, around the containment of your stuff that's too big to go in your mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like a different system for tracking other things. All of the rent and everything goes through this other app. There's like five apps associated with living in this apartment is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah. And do you generally like that?
Or does I'm kind of into it. Honestly, I feel like there's a fob. I'm really into the fob because, like, I don't know. It's just I've never lived in a place where I could just, like, scan it and that gets me into different doors. I'm into investigating, like, how – like, learning the pathways of this building has been kind of actually fun for me, figuring out, like, what the most efficient route is from point A to point B. And, I mean, again, when the vaccine is out and available and normal life resumes, this building, I mean, actually has a lot of really cool stuff on the ground floor, little restaurants and things. I also know that when I go down there, I will be conservatively 30 years older than everybody else who's there. Like, there's some place called the Knot Springs Social Club. It's closed, obviously. But I was like, oh, that'd be a fun place to go have a drink on a summer day. And then I time traveled in my mind to what that would look like. And it would look like a bunch of 21-year-olds going, why is there an elderly man here, like, reading a paper copy of The New Yorker? But anyway, yeah. So I
know that feeling, Luke. Like, generally speaking, the feeling of being like, oh, if I go in there, I will feel out of place and people will notice me. But honestly, this is also depressing. But first of all, I don't think that that would be the case at all. And to the degree that you would be, I just don't think you would be noticed if that were even the case.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you're like acting inappropriately and trying to
woo part of it.
Young ladies, then maybe.
Hey, Andrew, I've got to pitch my woo. Okay,
yeah, right.
Got to pitch woo. I always go back to what my friend Adam Davidson casually said to me as we were walking down the street in New York City, and some attractive younger women walked past us, and he mentioned, you know, in the olden days, those women might have looked at me and decided absolutely no way. He goes, but now they don't even notice I'm here.
And he was probably in his late 20s when he said that.
I know. We were probably – I was probably 26,
yeah.
And he was probably 31. But, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, the good news is no one is paying nearly as much attention to me as I am to myself, meaning – no one is thinking, like, what's going on with this dude? Because I just don't even – I'm just not even on people's radar, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But I should use that as a way to, like, not be so inside of my head all the time. Well, it almost brings me to this mask story, right? Because this West Seattle company will make you a mask that is a photo of the lower part of your face. So when you wear the mask, it just – you can really – I mean, there's pictures of it, and this is from a Seattle Times story – you really does just look like you're looking at someone's face, which is kind of cool when the mask is, like, perfectly positioned. But I feel like it's going to be bad when the mask slips.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes from being like, oh, wow, that's the person's face, to just being like, ooh, that's weird. That's giving me a bad feeling. Someone's face that's, like, 5% slipped down.
There are a few kind of catchphrases or turns of phrase that have been used in the past, I don't know, 5 years. I attributed them to, like, kind of internet speak. I don't know if that's correct or not. That kind of annoy me. And one of them is, like, when somebody will say, we'll send you something you might be interested in, just say, you're welcome. You know, like, I always kind of dislike that. Another one is, thanks, I hate it. Like, I don't like that phrase. It irritates me.
Wait,
but I will be.
People say thanks, I hate it.
Yeah, you don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, like somebody will post something online that kind of maybe creeps you out a little bit. Like some, you know, exactly. This is the type of thing. Because I will be honest, and this is what I was building to. When I saw this article, you sent it to me yesterday. I scrolled down and I saw the pictures, and immediately, without thinking, my brain said, "Thanks, I hate it." I don't like the way and everybody can do whatever they want, but I do not like looking at these faces where the mask illustrates the bottom half of the face. It makes me very uncomfortable. I think maybe even in a way that might be – you're the one who often brings up how we've evolved. I just feel like something is being triggered in my in the very core of my being that says, no, either wear a mask or don't, but don't wear a mask of your own face because it's making me very uncomfortable.
I'm not – like I said, when the – by the way, the place is called Friendly Face – And they use some kind of Christine Claridge, who's a great reporter over at the Seattle Times, wrote about this. That's how I found out about it. They use some kind of high-tech scanning technology to figure out exactly, how to make this thing fit. It's a realistic mask using selfies and measurements taken with camera depth sensors. When I see the mask being worn and it's perfectly straight on, it doesn't bother me as much as it sounds like it bothers you, Andrew. But again, we know this. None of our masks are ever fitting perfectly throughout the day. They're always moving around. And again, it goes into being some sort of like bizarro Dali kind of thing that I think would be much more upsetting than just a regular mask. When someone's actual, what I would like to do is get one of these made, but get a much cuter lower half of the face.
Right. Then you can go.
Can I get a jawline?
Then you can go into the swingers club in the lobby of your building. Yes, or whatever that is.
The Knot Springs Social Club. Hey, who's that? Is that 1980s Tom Selleck?
check that stash.
Yes. Oh, that's another thing. I could finally have a mustache.
Yeah,
I could have a beard, Andrew.
What if you just got the bottom half of my face? That would be so awful.
It would be like – that would be the – like people – you know, I know that – oh, God, I wish I could remember the term. Some of my female friends will talk about – hat fishing, which is like if a guy is bald but he's wearing a baseball cap and his like personal ad.
Yeah, right.
No one calls it a personal ad anymore, by the way. Right, if you were to turn to the back of the Little Nickel and look at the personals,
if you look at the missed connections, you yes. wearing a hat.
looking in Laramie. But anyway, like hat fishing is like a guy who kind of is trying to not let his date know or his potential date know that he's bald. So he's got the hat on and then you have a date and it's a great time. And then they take the hat off and you're like, okay, well, that's a new piece of information.
Yeah, right.
This would be like a version of that where I just like have a really nice beard and like a good like manly jawline, unlike I have in real life.
Mm-hmm. Provide that.
Thanks to my Irish heritage. I look more like a potato, but that would be great. And then I'd go down to Knot Springs, and everyone would be like, ooh, we're flying in hot for this hottie. And then at some point, there's a vaccine. I'm working actively against the vaccine because I don't.
In this scenario.
I need to keep this mask thing going. I'm so much more popular with the mask on.
It'll be a documentary be made about you. At first, your friends will be like, well, at first, we were happy that he was really kind of dealing with COVID in some really positive way. And like finding the upside and the silver lining and taking masking very seriously. But when he started actively working against the vaccine, we realized that there was a problem.
Yes. When he was starting subreddits about not trusting the vaccine,
right.
we knew that he had really, really gone over to the dark side.
Right. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL? The newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, let's do a little music for your weekend before we get out of here. Andrew, I know you've had a lot going on, so why don't I go first if you need me to just buy you, another 2 minutes to think of a song, or if you don't have a song this week, no pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a kind of I'm not sure how this is going to go, but when I was in one of the many stores that I have been in, I've been being safe, very masked up, but I have been needing to acquire some things for being in this apartment. I have been hearing a lot of music that I don't identify or I don't know, and I've been Shazamming it. And this happened the other day. I heard what I thought was a really cool old soul song that I had never heard before. And I was like, how did this soul song escape my radar? Mm-hmm. Then I Shazammed it, and it told me it was a song by John Legend. And I was like, that's got to be wrong. So then I Shazammed it again, and Shazam said, it's a John Legend song. Did I stutter? And I was like, wow.
It rolled really up its aggressive. Sleeve. It showed you the cigar burn on its arm.
I was like, wow, okay. So look, here's the thing about John Legend. I love that John Legend exists, and I love that Chrissy Teigen exists, and I love who they are in the world. I don't like listen to a ton of John Legend music. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when you had to explain to me that he's different than John Mayer on this show? That was one of my high moments.
I assumed you'd cut that out, but now the world knows.
No, it was a whole thing. I didn't know they were different people.
This song is called Slow Dance, and I think it's really good. At least the 4 minutes that I heard in a furniture store, I was really liking it. So can we play Slow Dance by John Legend?
Yeah, and you want me to dial it up over here, right?
Sorry. If you don't mind, yeah.
No, I don't mind at all.
I know you've got a lot on your plate today.
Interested in So Just by John Mayer. Okay, got it right here. Here it is.
All right. Yeah.
Just a minute, slow it down for a minute now, baby. You're talking loud, you're wilding out. Don't seem like my old lady. Let's go and play the song we used to play. Can we reignite the flame? 'Cause things just ain't the same. We could talk about the baby. We could talk until we're crazy. We could focus on it now. We can focus on it later. We can start another fight. We can argue and fuss all night. But I propose that we go to the flow and we slow dance.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, I really like this. And he's not a person who samples, right? Like, I know that he does play piano. And, of course, shreds the guitar.
I'm no, but hearing... troubled history with various starlets.
Right.
Has terrible guitar face. I'm hearing elements of that song which feel like they're musically a callback to some other kind of, you know, like not even samples, but more just like sonic allusions to things, if that makes any sense.
It looks like he is sampling something here. According to whosampled.com, which I love, he's sampling something called My Girl, She's a Fox by the Icemen.
Ah,
so that's
okay.
Kind of interesting for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, no, I like that song a lot. And now it's got me thinking maybe I should maybe investigate the music of John Legend a little bit more. Also, that is, you know, years from now when I'm out in the clubs – with my mask,
oh, yeah.
With my Hot Guy mask on, I'm going to put
that song
on the
jukebox. That you'll be wearing in 2029.
Put that song on the jukebox and really, I think, really score some chicks.
You'll just be like, man, I get older, these masks stay the same age.
All right,
my music for my weekend, but I just got to hear what this song by the Icemen sound like because it says the sample begins right away. So let's just take a quick listen. Because this might be even better. Not to undermine your...
Oh, man, this is good. Hey, but you know what?
Huh.
Can you?
Yeah.
What is the... can you play that song again from the beginning? Because I'm trying to remember... There is definitely... What is the song that's... Sugar, How You Get So Fly? Look up the song, or Sugar, How Do You Get So High?
Sugar, How'd You Get So High?
I don't think that's even the name of the song, but there is a song that definitely uses that guitar riff as well.
Is it by Baby Bash featuring Frankie J?
Maybe. No.
I have a feeling that this is going to lead us into a bad place.
Hold on one second. This is going to work. I'm going to do it. It is. It's Baby Bash featuring Frankie J, Sugar Sugar. Just play the. Will you play the beginning of that song? Because I swear to God.
This it?
What? No, it's not the same.
That's not what you're looking for.
I think it might get there, but I've dragged our show down to somehow an even darker place than medical issues related to a cat or the end of relationships. Who knew Baby Bash featuring Frankie J was going to be the real nadir point of this episode? Okay, sorry. Back to what you wanted to play, Andrew.
Okay, this is going to be troublesome as well, because this is one of those things where, number one, I don't know if I've already chosen this as music for my weekend before.
Okay.
In the past few weeks, because I've been wanting to play it. But then the other thing is, I think I'm clear on that part, but the other thing is, I don't know why this song is on my radar right now in the winter or the – are we in winter or fall? Whatever, in the late fall, early winter of 2020. And I'm wondering, is this on my radar because somebody already sent this into the show and it was somebody else's music for your weekend or a topic that we talked about? The artist is jazz singer Sarah Vaughan, and the song is Broken Hearted Melody. I feel like this was new to me in the past couple of months, but I don't know how or why. Does any of this ring a bell to you?
Was it covered by Baby Bash featuring Frankie J?
That's the version I would like to play.
Okay,
if that's okay with you. Okay,
yes,
so that's
no, the best
but
version.
This doesn't ring a bell to you, right? So I'm going to play this. I'm in the clear. This is, and again, this is an old song. It sounds like, I don't know. I define this as a torch song, although I got into a debate with Genevieve about whether or not this fits the definition of a torch song. But this is by Sarah Vaughan, and it's called Broken Hearted Melody, and I really like it.
Okay.
Like, I feel like this must have been in the closing credits of an episode of The Watchmen or something. I don't know why this song is why I'm so obsessed with this right now, but there it is.
I love that song. I have never heard it before, and I really like it.
Yeah. Sarah Vaughan.
Now, a torch song, according to the internet, is a sentimental love song, typically one in which the singer laments an unrequited or lost love. So, in other words, every song ever recorded by Patsy Cline.
Right, and this seems to fit that like pretty specifically.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, our listener suggestion this week. I'm surprised I picked this because it's setting me up for embarrassment because I'm going to have to pronounce an Icelandic name, which we know I have a good history with Icelandic music and interviews. It's from listener Megan. Hey there, I'd like to submit Think About Things by the Icelandic artist Dao Freyr.
I literally don't even know what some of the letters are.
Like, literally, there's a thing over this O that I've never seen before.
It looks like a backwards six where then somebody crossed. Dao
Freyr?
Yeah, so there you go.
Were they in House Mormont? Did they have to fly out of the moon door?
They did not want the Starks to use their bridge.
No, that was where the Red Wedding happened at Daoi Freyr's.
Okay, right,
that was it. Of course, the Icelandic artist, however you say their name, sorry, in the music for your weekend, the Slack Tens, Chad and Scotty turned me on to this song a few weeks ago. It's just a perfect, funky, dancey summer song with a strong Napoleon Dynamite vibe, signed Megan in Denver. Now, I watched this video this morning, and the video is really funny. It does have a pretty strong Napoleon Dynamite vibe. It takes a little bit. I think the song starts about 40 seconds in, so I'm not sure Do you mind playing this from your end, Andrew?
Yeah, I got it on Spotify here.
Okay,
so,
good. So yeah. I think it'll just kick right in here. So that's the music for your weekend. The song is called Think About Things by an Icelandic artist who I can't say their name. We'll just say it's by Sigur Rós.
wow.
Thanks, Megan, for the suggestion.
Enjoy hey, the song got music by Björk.
Yeah, it's Björk.
Björk, yes.
Like jerk. Björk. Anyway, this is going to bring us to the end of our broadcast week. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Thanks for being part of TBTL. And thanks for all the nice things that the condolences and the thoughts everyone's been sending me this week. Redirect all of those condolences and thoughts to Andrew now, please.
Oh, that's okay.
Anyway, okay. Well, we'll see y'all on Monday with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, everybody try to enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
I know I love you. I find it hard to see how you feel about me. 'Cause I don't understand you. Oh, you are yet to learn how to speak. When we first met, I will never forget. 'Cause even though I didn't know you yet, we were bound together then and forever. And I could never let you go. To know what do you think about things? Believe it, I will always be there, so you can tell me anything and I'll listen.
Power out.